One of the challenges that we will all face to some degree in our lives is our sufferings, the things that we see as challenging for us or we experience emotionally, physically, mentally, these challenges of suffering. We have all had it to some degree and we will have more of it in our lives. For many people, suffering, I would say even for Christians, suffering is a great evil, something that needs to be avoided at all costs. And we tend to look for different ways to avoid it. You know, I want a pill to help me avoid it. I want the surgery or some medical procedure to help me with this. I'll distract myself. I'll find some ways so that I don't think about that suffering that I experience often. In our day, unfortunately, some people are choosing, rather than to face their sufferings, to end their lives. So we see that coping with suffering is a very difficult thing. For us as Catholics, suffering can also be a means for our preparation for eternal life. It has a purpose to it, has value to us. That doesn't mean we seek it out or that we're masochistic or something where we desire to be suffering. But historically, all Christians understood that there was a way that suffering can unite us more fully to God. So what is good about suffering? What could come from suffering? Our first reading today from Wisdom reminds us that we really are very limited. We have a limited scope of what we can see and understand when it comes to the grand scheme of things in our lives. We can know God's counsel, or who can conceive what the Lord intends. For the deliberations of mortals are timid and unsure are our plans. These are the words of Wisdom. What is within our grasp we find with difficulty, but when things are in heaven, who can search them out? So God's methods of bringing us to eternal life and preparing us for eternal life are always somewhat going to be a mystery to us. We can't fully grasp them. We can't see the full scale, in a sense. Pain and suffering can help us refocus in our lives. It can help us maybe take a step back and try to recalibrate where I'm going. It can be the occasion for us to re-examine our lives and our choices. So in a way, suffering can be the means by which we let go of our plans and begin to be open to God's plans. And that doesn't always mean that God uses suffering to bring us into His will or that we have to go through it, but sometimes it can be a catalyst to help us start moving in the right direction. Now, broadly speaking, there are three ways that a person suffers. First way, suffering, we might call it suffering from self. So suffering that we cause ourselves. We make choices and the consequences bring us suffering. Second way is suffering for self, we might call it. This is suffering which we accept as a means of our purification. Thirdly, there's suffering for others. This is suffering that we accept for the purification and sanctification of other people. Now, the first type, there really isn't anything good in it. At root, it's self-inflicted. By our choice, we bring this upon ourselves. But it may be something that takes a long time for it to catch up to us. It may take years for us to really understand that our choices back earlier in our lives are now having an effect right now. Isn't that terrible? I wish I could go back and change that, but we can't. The other two ways of suffering are not usually our choice. We don't usually take them on, although there are instances where we take on a penance or we take on some action and we impose that on ourselves. But most often we accept it as some kind of suffering, great or small, with the understanding that this can lead me to a spiritual union with God, spiritual growth. In all three ways of suffering, there's real pain, there's real suffering, there's real hurts that are experienced. But there's a difference in how we experience those suffering. So the first way, that suffering from self, it can't be fruitful, it can't be joyful. Its characteristic marks are that it's suffering involving self-destructive behaviors, bad habits. It's a suffering that is self-perpetuating. It's caused by our sins, especially mortal sins. It often stems from broken relationships, weakness of character, addictions, and sometimes even it might begin from a pain or a wound that we received by someone else doing something to us, and we didn't have a choice in that, but then instead of choosing to seek healing, we take that gateway down the road of self-inflicted suffering. But regardless of the intentions, sin hurts us, right? And the hurt is built in. It's kind of part of the package to help us realize, hey, this is not a good thing. This is hurtful, what you're choosing to do to yourself or to others. And so that hurt is meant to tell us something. Suffering is one of God's ways of telling us that we need a change. We need to make a change in our lives. And hopefully we say, yeah, that's enough. I don't want any more of that. Now, unfortunately, sometimes we go deeper, right? Instead of taking a step back and saying, oh, I don't want to go down that path, we just look for another way and we go deeper into the hurt. And the suffering continues, and it can be kind of like waves in a pool that kind of go out from us. And they start to, our suffering not only affects us, but it affects all those around us, all the people in our lives that we love and care for. This kind of suffering is never going to be able to sanctify us or help us. It's merely a sign that we need help. We need to seek help and change our lives. We are freely causing this by our choices in some way, to some degree. And we must also choose to change, to go a different route in our lives. Now, making this change can seem impossible. It can seem very difficult. And a helpful image might be, you know, it's easy to rappel down if you've ever done rappelling before. It's easy to go down. But then if you were to try to go back up the cliff on the rope, it's not very easy. It's actually pretty tough. And that's kind of what we experience in time. It's easy to go over the cliff, but hard to get back up. Now, suffering in the second way, suffering for self, this is where we're starting to say, okay, I recognize there's a purpose here. I'm trying to unite this to God. It's a challenge, but we start to make that step. We start to say, okay, I want to make amends for my past failures and my past sins. This is different from the first time in that we're asking Jesus to be with us in it. And we're inviting the Lord to be healing us from our sins. We're trying to avoid sin and avoid error in our lives. It's a chance to be transformed through our sufferings. Now, the church in her wisdom offers us many ways to enter into that by making small sacrifices, things like fasting, tithing, almsgiving. These little things kind of opportunities for us to take a step and say, okay, I want to offer this up or offer this little way of being united to the Lord in this small way. These sorts of offerings can slowly deepen our connection to God and root out those sins or those self-focused desires and break through that hardened heart and help us to overcome our challenges there. Now, normally, in this way of suffering, we're not really happy to suffer. We're not like, yes, I love it. But instead, we're kind of saying, okay, I recognize that I can grow through this. In this moment, I don't like it, but I recognize there's a possibility for some good to come through this. So I'm going to endure it. I'm going to go into it. Now, suffering for others. This is a different level. And it can range again from just accepting slight annoyances that are just troublesome, bothersome, things that we wouldn't prefer, all the way up to, you know, taking on difficult and really what we would say incredible suffering for others and really seeing joy in that. That might seem foreign to us, most of us probably, but it's something that the saints begin to see, that the key to joy and to fruitfulness in this world is mimicking Christ's own sufferings that are poured out for others. Saint Sister Faustina says, suffering is a great grace. Through suffering, the soul becomes like the Savior. In suffering, love becomes crystallized. The greater the suffering, the purer the love. I don't see it that way yet, so I have a long ways to go, but hopefully we can start to begin to say, I will go through that suffering. I will take on this difficulty for my brother or for my sister. St. Thomas Aquinas says, one who suffers for others makes greater satisfaction to God when suffering than for suffering for the self. Suffering for others, for the other, is prompted by charity, but for the self, it's prompted by necessity. For us, suffering is always a challenge. It's always going to be difficult, and these categories aren't neat and tidy. We can talk about them. It gives us a way to speak about them, but they're not so clear and cut all the time. And they ebb and flow throughout our lives. And perhaps the biggest obstacle is that we really can't see. We don't see always the connection between what I'm suffering here, what I'm offering up in this moment, and what God is doing with it. But knowing that our pain has a purpose might make the trite Catholic saying, offer it up, might make that a little bit easier to accept or to enact in our lives. In Psalm 90, we are reminded that this life isn't all that there is, and that we do, in fact, need a Savior. Sometimes a person undergoes suffering at the end of their lives or throughout their lives in a way that helps them let go and look ahead to what's greater and the greater good that's yet to come. Our comfort is taken away, and we're forced to wrestle with the loss of control of many of the things, the good things that we kind of rely upon for our happiness in this life. It's a gamble that God's willing to make. He would rather risk our unhappiness for the short term of our earthly life in order that we would seek eternal happiness with Him in heaven. And it's a gamble that we, in a sense, have to enter into ourselves as well. This is what Jesus is getting at today in the gospel, and He says, if anyone comes after Me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Now that seems really harsh. Seems really challenging. Seems like something I would say, well, I don't know if I go for that one, Lord. But what Jesus is saying is that if we have our priorities wrong, if we put the wrong thing in the wrong order, we lose everything. We lose everything. To be a disciple means to recognize that all my other relationships, everything else in my life, is fulfilled and more greatly fulfilled when it comes through God first. God is my first thing, and everything else flows from that. It seems a little paradoxical. Jesus continues with his famous statement, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. So suffering is the means by which we are prepared to love like God does, a self-sacrificing love. If our love is only ever self-serving, then we would call it utilitarian. It really does me good, but it doesn't really help anybody else. In this way, the Lord is trying to help us to let go of our obstacles, the obstacles that prevent us from growing closer to Him and attaining eternal life. And then He says, anyone of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be My disciple. So there's this real connection the Lord is trying to make to us, that we have to let go. We have to let go of these things that we cling to and hold on to as a means to maybe try to control or find happiness or find purpose in our lives. And we have to say, okay, Lord, I trust You with all those things, and guide me to wherever You need me to be. Our Catholic understanding of suffering has the potential of changing how we perceive the world and how we experience the world. At the heart, this teaching is a means of a deeper union with God and a preparation for love like God loves. In our sufferings, let's try to examine the way that we are suffering and allow these sufferings to be the means of our eternal happiness. It's not an easy transformation to enact, but it truly is life-changing. So let's ask the Lord in this Mass to help us who are suffering, and maybe those around us who are also suffering, to be able to have that transformation where we don't just sit in our pain and stew, but that we can be open and say, okay, Lord, I unite this to You. Please be with me in it and allow me to use this for Your glory.